This week's show with Sarah Resnick of Gist Yarn and Zolly Makes is sponsored by Avlia Folk Embroidery. You never have to ask if designer Krista West has anything new because she always does. Little Baskets is a charming little table mat and a great introduction to the new fringe finish technique. Another new design is Columbari Diamonds, a beautiful geometric design inspired by the embroidery and weaving traditions from the island of Crete. It features a unique color palette and a new fringe finish technique. The Mediterranean Medallion cross-stitch kit is a wonderful introduction to folk embroidery. It features an intricate floral medallion inspired by Greek folk embroidery and is stitched on authentic even-weave fabric with three color options, celadon, coral, and indigo. Find these and many other beautiful designs and several unique stitching accessories at avliafolkembroidery.com. Thanks to the folks at Avlia Folk Embroidery for sponsoring the show, and now our conversation with Sarah Resnick of Gist Yarn and Zolly Makes. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr, and you are listening to Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists. Our artists this week, we are going to have some fun because we're weaving, we're creating wool yarn, and we're doing color stuff. So Sarah Resnick and Gist Yarn, and that's where the weaving and the wool stitching thread come from, and then Zolly Makes. And if people have not seen it, been advertised a lot, the Palette Scout color kit for helping you put together palettes, and then they have all kinds of other things. So we're going to learn all about that today from Sarah. Sarah, welcome. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be talking to you today.
Yeah, well, it was one of those, I wanted to learn about the Palette Scout, but then we start researching you, and then it's this world we got to learn about. So that's good. But now, all right, so you learned to knit. So you're one of those knitters that can sit there and carry on a conversation and the needles fly and...
You know, I used to be. I do less knitting now and more other types of crafts. Okay. So I think I need to focus a little more. But yeah.
Okay. Because those people amaze me where...
Yes. You know, click, 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 click.
Yep. And they don't even look. They just go. So knitting from your grandmother's, your friend of your grandmother's, you're sewing from your grandmother. The part one that caught me though, you're working, age 19, working on a farm, bags upon bags of greasy wool in the barn. It sounded incredibly gross, but it sounded to me like that was kind of the turning point. You had to see what you could do with that wool.
Yeah, exactly. I was working on a farm called Hidden Villa out in California in Los Altos Hills. And was working on a farm, so I didn't have any money, but I had some free time at the end of the days, and I was really into fiber crafts and fiber arts, but I couldn't really afford to go to the yarn store and buy stuff. But we had all this wool in the barn. The sheep that we were growing on that farm were for meat, so that means that their wool was not bred to be the soft, you know, luscious wool that many of us as fiber artists use. It was really itchy, and most of it, you know, it wasn't processed for use, but the farmers there said I could have it for free. So I took it out and, you know, washed it many times to try to get the lanolin and all the other stuff that is in wool out of it. And there was a woman that lived on that farm that had a spinning wheel, and she taught me how to spin wool. And it was just such a wonderful introduction into the world of where wool comes from its source. And I spent most of that year spinning and dyeing and knitting the itchiest wool socks that you will ever find in your life.
So that's interesting to me. So sheep that are bred for meat, so there's extra lanolin, and so there's, okay, I did not realize that. So then sheep that are bred for the wool are maybe not the best for meat.
You know, I'm not an expert on sheep farming, but what I know is that the sheep that we were growing there were bred for their meat, and their wool was not, you know, they weren't particularly being selected for having
No.
fine quality wool. I think probably all sheep are dirty and have tons of lanolin in them that need to be cleaned,
Right.
you know, when it's processed. But yeah.
So you learned on this free wool, which is cool because you didn't have any investment, and if it got messed up, you didn't care. But so you learned how to comb it and do all the things, and then in spinning it, one of our co-hosts, Jennifer, is a spinner. And she taught us at a we were together at a one of our sponsors' grand opening show, and we had drop spindles, and she was teaching us trying to teach us how to spin on drop spindles. Yeah, that didn't go well. But so
It's
you
hard to get a hang of, yeah.
yeah oh yeah and she just sat there mindlessly going, and the threads just piling up. Yep. So you got to learn on an actual wheel then. Wow.
Yeah, I actually found that easier than a drop spindle, although I imagine it might be a situation where whatever you learn on first is
Yeah.
easier. Yeah.
Yeah. But that hooked you. So you were in.
I was in and I didn't know how to weave at this point, but there was this loom in the barn that had been there probably 15 or 20 years that nobody had, I didn't know how to put it together. It was in pieces. And I wasn't able to figure that out while I lived there, but I made a resolution that I wanted to learn how to weave as soon as I could. And the year after, I moved to Toronto to start university and I took a weaving class there. And that's where I learned to weave. And
Oh.
that's really what set me on my weaving adventure. I found that weaving was the craft, the fiber craft that most spoke to me. And many years later, I started a weaving yarn company. So.
So are you one of those with a room with a big floor loom in it?
Yeah, well, I have two little kids, so my
Oh.
loom is in a hallway and doesn't have its own room. But yes, I do have a big floor loom in my house that I love to weave on.
Oh man, those things are so cool.
They really are.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. So that's still this day is your main love is weaving.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I keep coming back to. I really love I just the feeling of having cloth come across off of the beam is so special.
Yeah.
And it's a mix of like a little bit of math, a little bit of planning, a lot of color, which I love. And yeah, I have access to lots of weaving yarn because of my job, so it's
Yeah,
pretty
there you go. It
great.
always seems to me, you know, we've talked to a couple of weavers, that there's also a mental therapy aspect to that, just sitting there with that shuttle and just the same rhythm over and over and over again, that must be appealing.
Yes, exactly. It's a rhythm, it's the sounds, it's the textures and the colors, and it's special. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with two kids. Yeah. Give me an hour apiece, please.
Yeah.
So then how does Gist yarn start? Is that, I mean, is it, I love weaving. I know how to make yarn. Let's see what we can do with that.
I love weaving part. At that point, not yet the I know how to make yarn. But I had been working just before I started my company. I'd been working in textile cut and sew manufacturing. And through that, I started to build relationships with textile mills in the US and internationally, and just to learn more about that manufacturing world. And I realized that I didn't want to be directly in manufacturing, but that I felt like there was a great opportunity to create a company to bring new kinds of weaving yarns to market and create patterns. So I started in a 150 square foot studio with, you know, two shelves from IKEA that I filled with some yarns that I bought from US mills and from international mills. And then we've just been going from there. I found pretty much right away that we were able to find a community of weavers. Weavers, I think like many fiber crafters, really deeply support the small businesses in our community and in our industry. And so it's been just such a special place to grow. And now here we are. Yeah.
Yeah. Now you live in the Boston area, and of course the textile mills, I mean, there's a tremendous long history of that. Is that where we find most weavers in the country, or are they pretty much scattered everywhere?
We have customers in all 50 states. There are people all over. There's definitely a rich weaving community in the New England area. There's a lot of people on the West Coast too, in the Pacific Northwest. But we have weavers everywhere.
Yeah. Is it when we talk about weavers today, are they mostly hobbyists, or do a lot of them have small businesses where they're producing scarves and other finished product?
I think it's both. I think the majority of our customers are doing it purely as a hobby, but we also do work with a lot of people who are selling in farmers markets and art markets and are making more production weaving for that. So.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But so that East Coast is a good place to be with that kind of thing. So
It is.
then you so when does Just Yarn start? Is it does it evolve, or did you sit down one day and say, "Hey, look, I've got this thing. I think we can make a business out of it"?
So, I opened it in 2017, and that's, it's had the same name throughout, but it has certainly evolved over the years as I've brought on new team members and who they have really put their creative energy and stamp into it. And now, we're known for our weaving yarn and also our weaving patterns. We publish many patterns every year, working with a network of weaving pattern designers and a range of beginner, intermediate, and advanced patterns. So
So Just Yarn then, how does that then start? I mean, you've got, obviously you have some experience with yarn, making yarn. How do you get that going? Is it, do you have friends that are looking for yarn and you say, "Hey, I think I can make that happen"?
I started with an Instagram account. I think a couple, probably 5 or 6 months before I actually opened, I was posting about what I was planning to do and pictures of yarns that I was working on sourcing. I took a trip with my grandmother to Italy and sourced some yarn there from
Wow.
Florence and was sharing about that. So kind of bringing people in on the journey of that sourcing. And encouraging people to sign up for an email newsletter. And then the day we launched, we got opening orders, which is such a special thing to be a brand new company and see people ordering right away. Some of the people that ordered on that first day are still our customers, 7.5 years later. And it was kind of off to the races. Obviously, with plenty of bumps along the way, it's hard to manufacture yarn and work in physical products and find customer base to sell to, but we've been really lucky to just have loyal customers along the way to keep us
Yeah.
going.
Yeah.
The first couple of years, I was focusing on selling yarn that other mills designed, and then we moved into designing our own yarn specifically for weavers, and that's our primary focus today. So we have a number of different yarn lines, all natural fiber, and we contract with different textile mills to make those yarns exclusively for us. And that has allowed us to create what we have today.
Yeah, talk about that, 'cause the last we talked to somebody from Ireland some time ago, and one of her problems was there was one mill, and it was just getting wool and getting the mill, and it was her biggest choke point. She had customers, she could sell, but she couldn't get it processed through the mill. Is it an issue for you, or do you have a pretty good supply chain that allows you to keep things moving?
We have a strong supply chain. It's taken us years to build. Our biggest manufacturing partner is Meridian Specialty Yarn Group in Valdez, North Carolina. So they do the majority of our yarn production, and they're really experienced working in craft yarns specifically. So we make cotton linen, and wool yarns. The wool yarn that I sent you to try out is from them.
Yes, the array yarn. Array yarn, yes.
Yes.
And it's wonderful. It really is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and we also work with mills internationally for other types of yarn. We work out of India for organic cotton. We work with a mill in China to make silk noil. And we work with a mill in Peru to make alpaca. So we really try to focus in regions where those fibers come from naturally and where they are abundant. It's hard. We have a full-time employee whose job is to source our yarns, work with our vendors, work on, you know, getting all that yarn shipped to our warehouse. So it's a lot of work, but we're lucky to have partners who are strong.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. As I was going through things, I thought, boy, I bet there's somebody there who has to stay on top of that all the time. Cause I'm sure that if you let it slip for a week or two, things start to come apart.
Yeah. That's Valet. Valet is amazing.
Yeah. Especially sourcing from other countries. And so the alpaca, then comes from South America then. I wondered if you were getting it. You had somebody with a whole bunch of animals in North Carolina that was providing all your fiber.
Not for alpaca, no.
Yeah. So the other thing that came up several times is that word organic. Do you focus on that?
Not exclusively, but where we are able to. So we have one of our core yarn lines is called Beam, and we make it in three different weights, an 8-2, which is a lace weight, a 3-2, which is, I think in knitting terms, a DK weight. It's like a middle, and then a 3-4 yarn, which is the thicker yarn. That's the one where we recommend people crochet and knit with. Mm-hmm. And that's all 100% organic. We're having a lot of people use these kinds of products for baby toys, baby blankets, home textiles. And we're finding that people really like to have an organic option for that. Some of our other yarns are partially organic and partially not. And then some are not organic. So we haven't found that it is possible or cost effective to make everything organic, but we do it where we are able to. And every time we make a sourcing choice, we're balancing, you know, three different things. We're balancing environmental standards and labor standards, both of which we need to be high in any mill we work with, and also producing yarn at a cost that is accessible for a wide range of customers.
Right. So. Okay. Yeah. And I wondered about that from a cost perspective. Because, we've all been at the grocery store, organic strawberries. You want what for those? You got to be nuts, you know. And so there, obviously, there's a premium for that. But for babies and those things, I'm sure there's a huge appeal.
Yeah. There is a premium, and costs are an important part of figuring out how to manage for any business.
So you have the mill, so all of the stuff, all of your yarns then are processed from the mill. You don't actually have your own manufacturing.
Correct. We do not have our own textile mills. We contract with manufacturers for that.
Yeah. And they're able to keep up.
Yes.
Most of the time. I can see that game. I can see that game getting played.
They do. The mill we work with works with a lot of craft yarn companies in the U.S.
So then how does the array wool, crewel wool, come about? Because
So we made this yarn.
Folks, this is really nice. Folks, I'm just going to say she sent me some. I stitched with it. And for wool, crewel wool, it stitches very nicely. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it's yes.
I am so happy to hear you say that. Yes. So let me tell you the story about Array. It took us about 2 years to make this yarn. We, prior to creating this yarn, were mostly focused on weavers who do multi-shaft and rigid heddle weaving. And there's tapestry weaving, which is weft-based weaving. Typically, you might think of it as painting with yarn. And we worked for more than 2 years to create a line of yarn that would work well for these folks. It is, you can see the weight of this here if you're watching on YouTube. It's a 212 wool. The wool is sourced entirely from the US, and then it is spun and twisted and dyed in North Carolina in small batches. We have 114 colors, and there are multiple shades, 4 to 6 shades of every color. So people can do gradations from dark to light. And we designed this for tapestry weavers, as I mentioned, and we have, over the last year and a half, started to also market this for stitchers, embroidery, cross stitch, needlepoint. It's a lovely crewel wool for that. And we're excited to share the word about this US made yarn for stitchers. It comes on 1 ounce tubes, which I understand is a lot more yarn than stitchers are used to purchasing. People will often purchase on bobbins. This is the you know, what we're able to do with the cost of U.S. labor and U.S. manufacturing. We can't make a put up that's even smaller. But yeah, what did you think of it? Tell me more.
Well, it, I mean, the size of the spool, I don't care. You know.
Okay. Good.
That didn't matter to me. I did like that it's on a spool as opposed to a skein. You just reel it off. Yeah, I mean, I didn't stitch for hours with it, but it held up well. It went. I don't do a lot of low count. Actually, I don't do any low count stitching on linen, so I didn't have anything. Everything I have is 40 and above, so it's too thick for that. But I did have some Aida, and it stitched very nicely on that. And then I have a crewel piece that's on a slate frame, and so I hauled that out, and in the margins I started stitching, and it really stitched nicely, stayed where I wanted it, and held up. It didn't get all fuzzy. I mean, it held up well. I enjoyed stitching with it, and to the point where I was doing it last night, and I had to stop myself because it was gonna be one of those where, wait a minute, I got other things to do. But yeah, it's a very nice wool, and the colors are very nice. And I love the fact that you have shades in each of the colors. So, I was really sensitive to that because I'm stitching on a reproduction sampler, and one of the threads, one of the colors, blends too much with the background. And I spent a good portion of Sunday trying to find the right thread to replace it, and I didn't have them. I just went to a completely different color and made it work. But when I saw all the shades, I thought, oh boy, if I just had multiple shades, I could have solved the problem in 15 minutes. But yeah, it's very nice stuff. Very nice stuff. And yeah, the fact that, what is it? How much is on a 210 yards?
Yeah.
210 yards on a spool. So yeah. Yeah, not a problem. Yeah, I don't know too many stitchers who are objecting to having a lot of thread. It's
well, that's know. Good to hear.
Yeah. So you just started producing this recently?
I believe it was 2001. Yeah, and it has quickly become our best-selling yarn line. I think in no small part because we have it available in so many colors.
Yeah,
it was a lot of work for the dye house we work with to formulate all of these colors and shades that are so close to each other. And, we did it like that because we know how important it is for crafters to be able to move into gradation from dark to light and really play with the value differences. So.
Yeah. Every designer I've ever talked to. Yeah. It's really important. And they'll mix thread manufacturers to get that shade. Here, I'm going to put myself up for people watching video. The colors are just very nice. These are the ones Sarah sent me, samples that Sarah sent me. They're just a nice, rich color. And, pardon me for marketing your product, but I just really enjoyed using it. It's very nice. And I know I was talking to Beth. And I can tell she can't wait to get her hands on some, so I'll get some to her. But yeah, it's very nice. So it took off for you. It's been a good response.
Yeah, it's definitely taken off in the weaving community, and I'm so glad to hear you sharing about it with the stitching community because we want more stitchers to know about us.
Yeah, yeah. No, it got my wheels spinning. I've got a couple other crewel embroidery projects that I got to thinking, wait, maybe I'll I haven't kitted them up, so it might be fun to do a whole thing in a Ray yarn just to see how it goes. So what are you retailing one of these spools for?
$12.50.
Okay, so 210 yards was it for $12.50? So that's pure wool, 100% wool. Yeah,
100% wool. Yeah, entirely sourced domestically.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I say bravo. Yep. Yeah.
Thank you.
So 114 colors. I mean, was that how you started out? Did you say we got to have a chunk of colors, or has that had to?
We started out, I believe, 75 or 79 colors, and then we added in the rest of them a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And of course, we constantly hear from our customers that they want more colors.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot to formulate all the colors and carry stock for them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know that from your other yarns. Yeah, there's a designer every day, I'm sure, that wants this color or that color or just a little bit more of this or a little bit more of that. I'm sure that's just a never-ending thing. And people don't realize that at some point it's inventory for you. You just, yeah. And if it's not moving, it's like, ah, I don't know if we can do it. Yeah.
It's the balance, but we
Yeah.
love hearing from people that what they want more from us. That helps us figure out what to prioritize next. So
Yeah.
we have a rug, a domestically sourced rug wool that's going to be coming out in a couple months, which is in some of the colors of this array wool. So it's, just like a much thicker yarn, but
Yeah.
we're excited about that too.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. No, that that whole thread thing, we could line up 50 shop owners and ask them what their one frustration is, and I don't care what the shop is, if it's knitting or whatever. And it's, what thread lines to carry, how many colors to carry, and the fact that no matter what you do, the next customer comes in and wants the one color you don't have every time. So, yeah, guaranteed. Yep. Yeah, never
Guaranteed.
ending. Never ending. Yeah. Well,
Never ending.
and I think every stitcher, probably every weaver, Sunday was a perfect example. I've got a room and I've got a ton of silk and cotton threads everywhere. And did I have the color I wanted? No. It never fails. So there's no winning there. Yep. So we've
Indeed.
got the array yarn. So then how does Zolly come into this picture?
We had these beautiful yarns and I started experimenting with them in other crafts. I think I mentioned I have two little kids and I had just had my second baby and I couldn't do much weaving because I was stuck on the couch watching my kids and
Right.
weaving requires a little more personal space. But I could do lots of crafting in my hands. So I was getting really into crocheting with our yarns and stitching with our yarns, needle pointing with our yarns. That was the point when I started experimenting a lot with our array wool for stitching. And I realized that I wanted us to be able to share these yarns with other crafts. And so we put together artist designed beginner craft kits that teach people everything from start to finish. I imagine most of your audience is already experienced in fiber crafts, but if you know someone who is new and wants to learn, these come with video instructions that teach you how to do everything from start to finish, and they come with our yarns and all the materials you need. So we have that now in six crafts, and we also created Palette Scout for Zolly. So this has become our best-selling product, and this is a deck of cards that teaches people color theory in a fun and intuitive way and helps people pick colors for fiber crafts projects, painting, any kind of project that they do. And
Yeah.
that's what we've been doing in Zolly.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating thing. The kid thing stood out for me, one, because I have a grandson, because we have two grandsons and they come over frequently. And I'm usually up here in my room stitching or working on podcasts. And I have one, I've got to get him set up. He's interested in learning what that's about. And when I saw the kid thing, because there's a lot of young people, the pandemic has brought a lot of young people into the needlework world, and then the kids come along. So stitch and play is that one then. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what this is. Is my video quality okay right now?
Yeah, it's
Or
good. It's good. Yeah, it's holding up.
good, just making sure. So
Yeah.
this is called Stitch and Play. This is for 4 to 6 year olds, and there are 8 rigid stitching cards in here with these whimsical illustrations, and it comes with organic cotton for kids to practice stitching with. And my 4-year-old at the time, did lots of product testing with this, and it was really fun to get to see to create a product for her age.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure C, that's good. You can't get any better testing than a kid. So you can see where what's working and what isn't working. Yeah. So that's all set up. Yeah. And then you have other kits. So you have needlepoint kits at what, three levels, right? Is that, do I have that right? Three levels?
We have a beginner needlepoint kit, and then we also have more canvases created by the same artist who made that kit for intermediate level stitching.
So there's it, basically you've put together a way for people to get, really anybody get started. I mean, I don't think you'd have adults using those cards, but people can get started on needlepoint at the beginner level with a kit and a quality wool thread and at least get their feet wet and see how they go.
We're really trying to make crafting feel totally accessible if you're brand new, which we know can be challenging sometimes to learn the lingo of a new craft. So,
It intimidates some people, yes. Well, and going back to the weaving, you have an awful lot of stuff on just yarn for weavers. Beth somehow came in to possess two looms, rigid heddle looms, and she sent me one. And I didn't have the time, but I'm going back to that site because I gotta go through those videos. I've never done it. I've just seen videos, and but it's that education thing, I think, that is a nice underpinning to your products on either side of the business that is a real plus.
We have spent years building up blog resources and pattern content to help people get started. So,
So tell me about the Palette Scout. How did that get started? Because it's, give us the pitch on that, because just so we can learn.
So one of the biggest questions that we would get, most frequent questions we would get, is how do I choose colors that are going to look good together? Some people who have experience with color theory probably are familiar using color wheels and choosing complementary palettes or other sorts of color harmonies from that. Sometimes we would guide people to think about that as they were thinking about their color choices. But mostly what we heard from people over and over again is, I just don't feel confident with color. I don't get color. Other people are good at it. I'm not. And we wanted to make a tool that was really fun and intuitive that would teach people how to put color palettes together. So it essentially, it comes with 180 colors. They're broken down into 18 different hues around the color wheel, and then each color has a tone on one side and a bright on the other. And then we have, there you go, there they are. You can choose any color in the deck and say, okay, this is what I want to create a palette around. And then there's something called a palette ideas card, which will tell you which other colors you can match it with to make a complementary palette or a split complement, analogous, triadic, things like that. And then you can pick out other colors and you can experiment with dark colors and light colors and create a color palette that you like. So we've found that people really love having a full card with a full flood of color, that it's easier when planning out projects than trying to imagine what a little piece of a color wheel will look like. And we've also matched the colors in this deck to many popular art supplies. We match them to our own yarn lines. So Array is all matched. We've matched them to DMC Thread, to different fabric brands. So people can use these to experiment with and figure out what they want to make and then match it to the supplies they have in their stash or buy some new supplies. Because as you said, you never have the color that you need.
Never, ever. Well,
Yes.
that was, and that was my first question, because I'm playing with this, because I want to do a, there's a needlepoint, a needlebook project that I'm going to do. And I've been hanging on to this Caron Collection of Watercolors Black Iris thread, because it's one of those threads I just bought random for that project, that one project. Well, I've decided this is the project for it. And so then I thought, all right, now I'm going to build a palette. Now I could take, I'm sure written down somewhere is exactly what the DMC equivalents are for every, this overdyed thread for every color in this. I could do that. But I thought, no, I'll use the Palette Scout and put together a palette of my own. And so I sat down and started playing with that. And then, so it was, and of course, a little help from my wife. But then, yeah, so then I get the card with the colors, so that's where I'm at. But then question number one for me was, well, what's the DMC equivalent? And so then I went to your site, and it was, I think it was $5 to get the PDF that gives me the equivalence for all the colors in the deck for the DMC equivalent. So now, all right, now I have that connection that I can go. And I love that you have, geez, there must be 20 different products. I mean, there was even paint. It was a Pittsburgh paint color conversion so that people doing interior design could do that. Yeah, it's very handy. So that's where I'm at. And I agree having these cards, because I could lay the thread right on the card and see what I'm doing. And so, yeah, I ended up spending a good chunk of time just kind of mapping out here what to do with this. So it was a lot of fun, but I also felt like I was not out on my own. I had something that was guiding me all the way through it. So, it worked out really well. I haven't got a palette to show you, but I was getting there.
How do you usually pick color palettes? I'm curious if it felt different than that.
Well, normally I have male red-green color blindness. Mm. So that's also part of my struggle. So I really, like if you give me a Christmas green and a Christmas red, fire truck red, I can tell those are red and green, you know. It's when you get into the shades, like some of those greens, I have a lot of trouble with them. And reds that get into oranges or purples and that whole area, I really struggle. And like I can tell if things go together for the most part, but I've been known to come up with combinations that my wife will go, where'd you get that, you know? And mm-hmm. So I struggle with that. And so to that help, I could at least because the color wheel will work for me to a point, but then I just can't make it work. So being able to lay these cards down was a plus. And but a lot of times it's when, you know, how do I come up with a color palette? I'll put together three or four threads, and then I come up with a color palette by going to my wife and saying, which of these works? Mm-hmm. And it's not unusual. Well, I had when I was working on that sampler, I had four or five threads that I thought would work, and I laid them on. I says, now which one of these will do what I'm trying to achieve here? And she picked up two of them. She said, these are green, and she just flipped them off to the side. And then when she did, and she said they're green, then in the right light, then my mind connects green, and I can see the green. But with the other threads, no dice. So, I rely on her, probably to the point of annoyance at times. But I feel like this gives me, at least gives me a tool that I can work with. And I'm still not going to get it right every time, but yeah.
Neat. Well, I'm so glad you tried it out. We've been hearing, you know, I mostly assumed that we would have customer base within fiber crafts. I mean, within weaving and within other fiber crafts, but we've had people buy this to paint their house, you know, to figure out how to paint their house, to figure out how to deck like their own outfits, painting, you know, card making, all sorts of things. So it's really neat to see the wide range of people that are responding to a deck of colors and a system to easily match them together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how I came to contact you is a listener had a friend who was using it and having great success with the kit for her, I think it was Cruel, for her designs and selecting colors. She was having great success and had commented to this listener that she really enjoyed it. And then, you know, the listener says, wait a minute, maybe you should talk to Sarah and learn about this. So it worked, you know, it worked there. And I can see how it's going to help me. And so it's going to be interesting because I know what I'm going to do next is I've got a couple of color wheels. So I'm going to pick things out and then I'm going to get the color wheel out and see how it relates to it and go from
nice.
There. But
nice.
Yeah. So what makes you come up with this?
You know, why did we develop Palette Scout?
Why cards? You know, we have color wheels.
You know, it was really just that pain point that we were hearing from customers and to me, what was missing was the full flood, like having the full flood of color to be able to make choices. So I own a yarn shop. So I have a lot of yarn in my stash, and I can take out this tube and this tube and this tube and put them together and figure out if I like them or not. Most people, you know, they want to choose the yarn that's going to look good in their project. They don't have an endless amount of things that they can pick from. And a set of cards to play with is obviously much more cost effective than purchasing every color of every craft supply that you have. So I wanted to be able to make a cost effective tool that could help people feel confident in their color choices so that they were purchasing the yarn or the thread or the fabric or whatever their craft is that they knew they wanted. So that was the idea for a deck of cards. It took 2 years to develop, to find the right manufacturer, to create all 180 of those colors, and to figure out the system that would make it easy for people to understand. But that's why a card deck instead of a color wheel. I still use color wheels. I think color wheels are really helpful and important. And I think Palette Scout also has a place for inspiring people to be creative. So.
Right. No, it does. And a color wheel, I know for some people, well, I'm sure for a lot of people, can be intimidating.
Like, yes.
Spinning the wheels and, you know, what's this all about? Where this takes that out of it and makes it simple. But yeah, to be able to just lay the thread on the card and have a big swath of color and see if it matches or not. And that's what I was doing an awful lot of. And then I went to my wife and I said, I think the darkest color in this overdyed thread, I think it matches with this one. Tell me if I'm right. And I said, or is this one? And she said, well, they're both close, so they'll both work. So then, you know, then I was off and I went and got the Neptune was the one. And that's the other part is they all have names. So I at least have something to hang on to, and they're all cross-referenced. So yeah, it's a very nice system. Yeah, I say bravo. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks. We're pretty proud of it. We also have on our website courses. So we teach people color theory. We just launched a course about color mixing, and I've been finding as we create these courses and teach them that having this deck of cards as a tool for teaching makes it easier for people to understand, right? So they can have the deck of cards in front of them. They're playing with it as they learn color theory and watch it on the screen. And we're hearing from lots of people that it helps things click for things that they did not feel confident in before. So that's my favorite thing to hear as someone who wants to create products that inspire people, that it just helps things click for them.
Yeah. Well, and we encourage people all the time in our shows to change designs. You buy a design, change the colors to make it yours. And I know when we say that, for the majority of people, it's, yeah, you do that. I have no idea how to go about it. You know, sounds good, like to do it, no idea how to go about it. And you say, well, use a color wheel. Well, okay, sure. I think I can figure that out. Where this, yeah, this is a much more approachable thing. Yeah, it's a good idea. I'm curious now in the near future how much I'm going to, I keep picking up the cards and looking at them, but I'm curious.
Keep
to
me posted.
Yeah, just how it works and how it works for me. So, yeah, and that's just it. It's just this small little box. It's not like it's a monstrous collection of cards that are falling all over the place. So, yeah, yep, yay, and it was not expensive. What is the
$35.
Yeah. So it's $35 for it. So yeah, not too bad at all. So, yeah, good idea. Bravo. Yeah.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about, and, you know, we're going to run out of time here, but I wanted to, your people. It looks to me like you've got a pretty good team of people. Cause we've got what Anna and, Grace and Christine.
Christine,
I can't type. LaShawn, Susie, Vale. It looks like a skilled group of people to work throughout the whole system. It's pretty nice, and woman owned business and all those positive things that come out of that. So are they all some of them friends that came to work with you, or people you've hired, or?
I will tell you, it's the best part of my job is the people I get to work with. I feel so lucky to have the team that we have. We've grown slowly over the years. None of the people, not friend, not people before I worked with them that were friends, but everybody I've become close with now. And just as we've slowly grown year over year, we've been able to hire on and bring on new people. Those people all work full time for the company. We're a remote team, so they're working from different parts of the US, but we meet, over video chat and sometimes with some people local to me in person. And yeah, it's really neat to have a team of people that love fiber crafts and are passionate about the underlying core of what our companies do and also are really good and excellent at their jobs, whether that is sourcing or customer service or marketing or product development. So it's neat. It's neat. Yeah.
And remote works. Before I retired, the company I worked for, the magazine that I was editor of, we were all remote, and we never got together, and actually rarely even met online. I'm sure in your business you have to meet online quite a bit, but you get the right people, motivated people, and it can work and work extremely well. So
Yeah. We started in person. The first couple of people that worked for the company were local to me and in person, and we moved to remote in 2020, and that's when we started hiring from different places. And it has its challenges. I think for a yarn-based, a physical product business, there are times when the fact that we aren't all in the same room, looking over samples together and making decisions together can be hard. I do meet up personally with Christine, who's local to me and who leads the product development for Gist and works with creating all of the new patterns with our pattern designers. So she and I meet regularly and look at yarn samples together. But for the most part, we're a remote team.
Do you have much time to do your own needlework, or do we squeeze that in?
Yeah, not as much as I would have liked. Not really because of my biz, more I think because of outside of work hours. I'm mostly taken up with watching my kids, but I definitely make some time for it, and I am teaching my kids different fiber crafts, and it's the fun part of life is really getting to do these crafts. So, and it's so fun to get to meet with you and with other people who share that passion. Life is different when you really get to love your fiber craft and, make space and time for that. So,
So true. So true. Well, Sarah, thank you so much. And thanks for putting these products together, because they're useful. Really good. Yeah, thank you.
thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks to everyone for listening.